You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
This is the Jabberjaw Podcast Network.
Okay, folks, today is the big day. Today's the day that Break It Down becomes a real thing. I'm trying to take it professional. I've gotten such good feedback from the numbers and just response from everybody that people have urged me to make a Patreon page, and we've done it. Today it is launched, and I'm going to try and build a community around that too, not just a way to get paid, but a way to connect with you guys and build a community. And the coolest thing about it is we're doing a private Slack channel. So all the people that join to be a part of the Patreon and support this podcast will get to be part of that private Slack channel. And we're going to use that to drive the show itself. So I'm going to just run. I made a video earlier today to explain what it was and what my goals and intentions are. So I'm just going to run the audio from that video. But first I'm going to say, as always, thank you to Joey Sturgis Tones, promo code podcast20 to get 20% off there. And thank you to BSWUSA.com, where I get my podcast gear, and you can get yours off for 10% if you use my promo code down. So they've already shown support for the show, and that's made it be a little bit more professional. I think with this Patreon, we can get going the right direction. So anyway, I would urge you guys, I know you support other stuff out there, but please join me here and we'll get on that Slack community, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun. So here's that video, and then after that video that I'm about to play, I'm going to just roll right into this live in studio podcast that I just did with the band Surrogate. Surrogate is one of my favorite bands. They have some great records. They did some touring with Emory. We did an Emory acoustic tour one time, and they went along on that tour. Their guitar player and main songwriter was in Number One Gun. His name's Chris Keene. He just recorded and produced Shelton's last record, and he's been playing guitar with Emory live. And then the other guys in the bands are my friends, and they're playing down the street. So I said, come by, we'll podcast today. So you'll just hear what happens when they come in studio, do a couple songs, and hang out and chat. But thank you to everybody in advance for supporting my podcast. So you guys got to go to my website. By the way, I got a new icon, a new logo, new graphic design, and a new website, and that all launched, well, right now. So go to breakitdownpod.com and see the new website, and right there is where you'll click through to see the Patreon, to watch the video and see what all the perks and levels that I have over there is. So breakitdownpod.com, go there right now and listen to this little, you know, audio from the video I made for you. Okay, so welcome to my Patreon. Let me explain what this is and how it works. As far as I can tell, for almost all of human history, media has been controlled by a relatively few people, powerful people, governments, and large companies. And we're some of the first people ever to have access to truly free forms of media. And that's like, think independent music, podcast, YouTube, and so on. Media's also always had to traditionally conform to lowest common denominator and reach a super mass audience to be productive at all, or worse yet, be controlled by a very specific agenda. But we're excited, and you should be excited, because we now have the opportunity to create and support media that does have the consumer's best interest in mind. Now, but the thing is, that only happens when you directly fund the things that you want to exist. And literally, you and the creator can connect directly, and that's where Patreon comes in. It seems to be doing a great job of connecting creators to consumers, and it's an extremely important and exciting development. So my podcast is called Break It Down, and it's essentially an experiment in self-directed learning. I'm a curious and driven person who's never really fit in well or learned in traditional systems like the education system, for instance. So being curious, nothing feels better than being engaged and focused and stimulated. So I'm always looking to get myself into a discussion or even listen to a discussion on music, technology, the future, human social behavior, stuff like that. And I'm not super into books or colleges and that kind of thing. So I'm trying to design for myself a career that may have never even existed before. And that is just to talk to people who know stuff that I'm interested in and have some thoughts on. And I call it long form conversation. And I think that's probably more valuable and better than many, many other forms of propositional information exchange, I would say. And so my guess is that by me exposing you to the topics that are interesting to me, you will be greatly benefited just as I am. And that's exciting, because
what I'm trying to do is align your and my interest. I want to be your guide to exploring how things work. So we'll learn a bunch of stuff together and it'll be fun. Okay, so here's what I want you to do. I want you to support what I do directly with your money. And this show's 100 times cheaper to produce than any radio or TV production out there. But I do spend a great deal of money and a tremendous amount of time on it. And I have a producer named Reva that I pay every month already to do everything for the show. And that's run the cameras and publish the files, update the website, make the graphics, do the bookkeeping, and manage and book the guests that I talk to, and to listen to all my crazy ideas as well. So my first goal is just to pay for her work. And also, we do pay rent here in my studio so that we can walk into the studio and broadcast anytime we want, 24 hours a day, whenever we have something good to say or somebody good to talk to. Also work on music and other projects here. But beyond that, I would love to be able to justify making several shows a week and to do more in-person conversations and travel to and fly guests here to my studio. Now, we're also creating an actual community of people that are interested in similar stuff that I am. And we're going to do that via a private Slack group. I'm really looking forward to interacting with you guys on there and having a group, having that group drive the show and guests and topics that we cover. I'm excited to learn from you guys about what's interesting and stimulating in the world. So let's do it. I promise that your contribution really does matter. And I also believe that you yourself will get more out of the show and feel better for doing it. And this is not charity. This is you being proactive in your consuming of media that I believe will make you a better and more informed and more reasonable person.
Break it down, Dada.
Break it down, oh, break it down. Break it down, oh, break it down. Break it down, oh.
Thank you for coming by the studio. It's good to see y'all.
Thanks for having us, man.
This is, it's
really something funny, too, because I'm very excited. I'll give you two reasons I'm already excited. One, I built this tabletop just for this occasion. I've never used it yet.
Really?
Yeah. Not for this. I've used it before, but I've never had a bunch of people sit around it before, which is why I built the shape of it just for this exact purpose. Perfect. So it makes me, I got a jigsaw for Christmas, and this is what I used it on to cut the plywood here. And then secondly, I was about to go get a coffee downstairs. Like, oh, I got to have another coffee before I do a podcast. And then Jordan put this Sierra Nevada beer right up here and asked me if I want one. And I want to say that's one of the best feelings when you go, I think I'll have another coffee. Nope.
No.
Beer. Here we go. So the switchover has already made me really happy this afternoon. So what did you guys have? If anybody doesn't know, I don't like to be super formal. I just like to talk whatever. But I do want to make sure people understand who you guys are and that you're playing tonight in Seattle. That's part of the problem of doing it live, or part of the good part about it. So you guys are the band called Surrogate. You're some of my best friends that I've ever known. And you guys are playing in town tonight. I'm quite excited about it. So
like,
where are you playing?
Away. We're playing at the High Dive here in Fremont. Mm-hmm.
High Dive is a great place.
Yeah, that's what I've never actually been. Did you ever play it?
Never played it either.
I've
never. No.
Yeah, but we're excited.
Yeah, so I hope people will come out just from hearing this. Is my hope is that a bunch of people will be there. I know there's going to be some other friends are playing. I know a bunch of music scene people in Seattle will be there.
So yeah.
You got a bunch of friends in Seattle other than me?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. We got a handful of people coming. And then we're out with Fialta and Tyson Motzenbachers. Mm-hmm. Both of them have played here a handful of times. So should be a nice little turnout.
Yeah, it should be good. And then you guys are really staying at my Airbnb tonight. Is that
we really are. Yes. As long as you're sure.
I'm sure you can do it. No, and I only charge you the cleaning fee. I said $30 if you leave that, we'll be good.
Incredibly generous.
This is all quite exciting because I got a babysitter, so I'm going to go home in a little bit and get Bridget, and we'll be out at the show too. So I'll be out there if anybody wants to come out and say, hey, I will be there as well.
So you're saying that this is going to be the first of perhaps several beers that you may enjoy?
That's how it works. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. That's why if you switch over, that's what I mean. I'm not going to have a coffee later.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. You know, that's fun sometimes to take the roller coaster.
Yeah. Well, no, not for me. It's just a pacing. It's a pace situation. So now, what time is it now? It's 4:00.
Yeah.
It's beer 30. It's almost 4:00. So I just have to keep that in mind as I go through my evening. I'm going out to a bar and stuff like that. So I just had to keep a real, leisurely pace tonight.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
It's all pacing.
Mm-hmm. It's all about pacing. So would you guys already have a problem with your, Bridget told me that you guys had a flat tire, broke down. What'd you do?
Yeah, we were driving from San Luis Obispo to Chico. We just decided on a whim to drive overnight, which in retrospect may have been a bad choice, but we blew a tire in Kalinga, California, which is the middle of nowhere, on I-5, a lot of traffic at like 6 in the morning. It was kind of a bummer, but we had a spare. We were back on the road in about 20 minutes.
So that's good.
Could have been a lot worse.
Great.
But as far as like that goes, this is the only hiccup we've had so far. It's been pretty awesome.
Good. So somebody asked me yesterday who you guys were, and I just really struggled to answer. I really didn't know how to answer
hashtag
that question.
Same.
So here's what I came up with. So help me out here. I said that you guys are one of my favorite bands, because you are, because you did the Emory acoustic tour with us right when your first record came out.
Yeah,
we did a tour.
2007.
Years ago.
Was that 10 years ago?
10 years ago.
Yeah.
So it was one of my favorite tours, but you guys were already a band we super liked, but you were, I guess, a new band, but it doesn't really feel like you're a new band because you were older guys that were kind of post the heavy scene anyway.
Yeah.
So you started, I guess, more of an indie band, but it was relatively early for starting an indie band while most people were still doing hardcore stuff, right?
Yeah, I'd like to think so. But yeah, Jordan and I were in, I mean, that's how we got to know you guys in Emory, was our old band, Number One Gun. Yeah, traveled with you guys, played shows, and did the whole like emo pop punk thing for a while. And kind of decided to go a mellower route after that.
Yeah, so that goes all the way back to Number One Gun, which is, we met in, what year was that, Jordan?
We were just talking about it last night.
We were trying to figure that out.
I want to say 2002 was when they played that house show in Chico.
Yeah.
Catacombs, you remember that
show?
Yeah,
I remember. It was one of the first shows that Emory ever did out of town at all, was down in Chico.
Yeah,
it was just, and I mean, that's just the most, one of the most vivid memories I have. John Dunn and his band were there.
Yeah.
Flying and Falling, right?
Yeah, and so, and I just had, do you remember Steven from Flying and Falling?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was just on the podcast recently, last week.
Oh, nice.
And he does VR stuff, he's making a VR game, and everything's really successful, developer, designer kind of guy.
Cool.
And he's really cool. So what I remember about that show was just you guys being, Number One Gun was like, it was just bad local bands everywhere. That's all it was stuff like that. And then Number One Gun played this house show, and it was like 40 people in a living room, but it was full intensity, like house show. And I was like, well, this is the best drummer I've ever seen. That's what I remember. I remember your DW drum set and watching you play and hit the hi-hat and the rims of the drums and just using it in all these quirky ways. And I was like, this is exactly what I love, and this band is so freaking good. That was like, I mean, it really is to this day. And now, to complete that connection, is you played drums on Devin's record and Chris produced it.
That's right.
The record that Devin just released.
Yeah, yeah.
So. Oh, I would like to add, too, going back to the Catacombs show, that two guys, Chris and Daniel Martin, played in $7 Jacket.
Our like
high school
punk rock band opened that show.
Yeah,
yeah, it's
like
crazy.
Yeah.
Like the stars aligned in that show.
So we've always been a bit had tons of friends in Chico ever since. Like we started making. I mean, it's just early on, so we know a ton of people from Chico music and not music. So it's always been a strong connection that we've had.
But. Which, in the scheme of things, I mean, for people who may not know where Chico is on the map or where it is, it's kind of a random place to just kind of drop in. It's not exactly on the route to or from anywhere.
Yeah.
It's sort of out in the midst of kind of nothing. So it's just kind of weird that that's how it worked out. Yeah. Well, that's always been amazing to me to hear stories like that, because you have to really mean to come to Chico. Like, takes a little bit. It's not like, oh, we'll switch around and things, you know, between here and here, and that, it's like you got to make a
concerted effort.
Solid effort to Chico. So it was truly fate.
Yeah, it really was. And so Tooth and Nail put out your first record.
Yeah, first two. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And then how many do you have total now? Because I'm not even caught up on all of them, to be honest.
We have after the first two, we have an EP and then a full length, and we're working on our fifth LP.
So for the age range that you guys are in, tell me what you feel like is the main purpose of the band. I won't give you what I think the answer is. I'm curious yours, and then I'll tell you mine.
I'm not sure I understand the question.
Why do you do this?
Oh, why do we do it?
Yeah.
Oh, for free drinks.
That's what I thought.
No, I mean, it's a super hobby. It's yeah. it's like, it's none of us make a living doing mm-hmm. surrogate, but I mean, we get to come up and hang out with friends in Seattle, and mm-hmm. none of us are really paying out of our pocket.
Yeah.
You know? So that's, you know, plus a it's a good creative outlet for all of us.
Yeah. Then, and that's, I was going to suggest something along the lines of that, because I'm not insulting you, they don't make a living, but that's not really even the goal for it.
Kind no,
of
thing. It never yeah. has been.
Because in this era, it just seems like everybody ever run into is some kids trying to, and they always ask me, well, how do you make it? I want to make a living. I want to do this, all this stuff. And I don't know. I don't even love that mentality sometimes. But
yeah.
what you guys are doing seems like the most fun possible thing to me, because you guys actually jam and hang out and
yeah.
work at your studio or rehearsal space. And when I see the Instagram videos of that, I'm so jealous, because I don't get to jam with Toby and Devin and Dave
yeah.
and Josh. I don't get to do that.
Right.
And y'all, you get to do that. So you all have careers and other stuff now, and you exactly. get to do a really good band that is one of my favorite bands. And well, you get to do it as a hobby, so there's no strings on it or something.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. We were actually just talking about this last night. Like after the Number One Gun thing kind of fell apart, both Jordan and I were just like, let's not do that again. Like, let's get grown up jobs or jobs. I went yeah. to pizza delivery. Mm-hmm. And just do it for fun and not be slaves to the band and let it just be yeah. some, like a cool activity.
That and that's a good thing, because if you can be world class at what you do and still do it for a hobby, that you're going to enjoy it more. So what was it like that, what you said when Number One Gun fell apart, though? Like, what were the bad things about that that made you not want to do music, try to make it your profession again?
Just, I mean, there were so many things, but I think just we were burnt out at the time just from all the traveling and... wasn't really into the music anymore, personally. Just kind of
yeah.
burnt out.
Well, and it was right. it was also, I mean, it was, we kind of straddled that line of Christian and non-Christian
uh-huh.
markets. And so we would, in order to just pay our bills, we'd have to take shows that we didn't want to take mm-hmm. and play tours that weren't necessarily good for us. Just so that we could pay our rent, you know?
Yeah.
And that's, yeah, it's not
something. You can be kind of a slave to it in that way.
Absolutely, yeah. Just it kind of forces you into a spot that it's not really a fun place to be. So we decided never to put ourselves in that position again, at least with Surrogate.
That's good. And so then you came on and got new other jobs. So Jordan, you're working, doing who explained it to me recently? Chris explained it to me. You tell me what it is. It sounds so cool.
I'm a consulting utility forester. Uh-huh. My company contracts with PG&E, large, you know, electrical company.
And gas.
Thank you. And I go out and inspect trees around the power lines and gas pipelines and basically analyze tree growth and prescribe the tree work to be done based upon what I find, whether it's dead or whatever, just to keep it clear and maintain compliance.
To protect the power lines
yeah.
and stuff like that. So you're out
mainly because of fire.
Okay.
Fire prevention is how it all started.
Because you were doing fire and stuff too.
Yeah, I used to be a seasonal firefighter for
yeah.
6 seasons after Number One Gun.
And did you really, getting into these other careers and doing stuff, do you really enjoy it? Like, you don't miss doing music for a career?
I wouldn't say that, but I definitely miss it.
Yeah.
But I am pretty happy right now with my job. I mean, I'm an outdoors guy.
Yeah.
So, I hike out in the middle of the woods a lot of the time. It's just amazing the places I get to go. So I'm in my element, you know, there at
mm-hmm.
work. And so, yeah, the best of both worlds.
That's really good.
If I could make those two collide.
And so. Daniel Taylor, you're a lawyer now. Is that the case?
Well, so
he's inactive.
A non-practicing
so
lawyer.
So, exactly. So I'm retired. But semi-permanently. So I retired for now because... I'd rather come out.
You already retired.
And play music with my friends. Then I put on a tie. But I reserve
the
right to re-become one in the future when the time is right. So I can be a lawyer anytime I choose because I've done all the things that you have to do. I've passed all
mm-hmm.
the tests. I've passed all the ethical, you know, hurdles that they put in your place.
Yeah.
I just choose not to at this time. apply myself to the profession because I'd rather be here talking to you than in a courtroom talking to a judge.
I've tried to tell the story, and I don't get the details right, but the point is there when I try to tell it. But to me, it was super funny, and I think it was Luke, last time I saw Luke down in Chico, that he was telling me about how you got a job right after you passed the bar and were working in San Francisco.
Yes.
So you would commute during the week to San Francisco.
Yes.
So it was like an illustration of how expensive the housing is in San Francisco, that you would leave Chico and go stay Monday through Friday with a divorced guy who had weekend custody
of his children.
Children, and you would stay in the children's bedroom.
Yeah, I'm like a 4 foot long like bunk bed where I had to hang one leg out. Because there was literally no.
Wanted to have Rainbow Bride on it, and was it a princess veil coming over the bed?
Some form of princess bedding on it.
Yeah.
And I always felt kind of seedy, because I'm like, man, like some like small child's gonna sleep in this bed that this like extremely large bearded man has slept in for for 4 nights. But that was so it's probably similar to what you guys have up here right now, where the Bay Area is like so
ridiculous,
so just crazy that to drive, it'd take me 6 hours sometimes to drive back from where I was working in the South Bay in Silicon Valley back to Chico. So it'd be like a 6 hour drive home, but that was better than trying to rent someplace for $3,000 a month and for doing a job that I kind of knew from the start that I might not like that much. And
that's turned just out crazy.
I didn't like that much, and I just didn't really like. I'm not really like a rat race kind of guy. Like, I'm more of a like.
But nonetheless, like the point of the story is even a lawyer, being a lawyer, has to rent a child's bedroom to live in San Francisco.
So the best way to not want to be a lawyer is to become one. Because you realize that there's a lot more to it than just.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe once upon a time, in maybe our parents' time, there was the idea of you matriculate and you get done with the schooling,
mm-hmm.
and you kind of just find your place and you go, and yeah, maybe you won't be the best or the worst, but you'll just go because that's what you do. But nowadays, I mean, there's 18 people trying. So I got a job as a contractor with a company, and there were like 160 people trying to get what was a relatively crummy job for the Bay Area. So if you lived down there and you were getting that job, like, you had to either live hand to mouth some way, and that there was extreme competition, like fierce competition, because there's just not enough jobs for the people who went through all the schooling.
Yeah,
because they thought it was the right thing to.
Do they regulate that? How many people are allowed to? That's in Japan. So they do that, right?
Yeah, well, so I'm sure that they probably do elsewhere, but they certainly don't here. They say
if you pass the bar exam, you're in or whatever. But I'm thinking Japan, they limit, like, only a certain amount of people can become lawyers regardless or something like that.
Well, so I probably wouldn't make the cut in Japan. Thankfully, here in the good US of A, I meet the standards of the California bar.
That's good. What is how much did you have to pay that guy to get that bedroom?
You know, so I only paid, just because he was a friend of mine. In fact, he was a guy who I used to play in a band with back in Chico. And he only charged me like $300 a month.
Oh, man, that's great.
So it was a good deal. Yeah, it was a hell of a deal. So that's why it worked out for as long as it did. But he actually moved out of that house, and that was one of the main reasons why.
You had to quit your job.
Yeah. I'm losing my place. I don't really want to. I want to be here anymore. And one of my bands was going on tour.
Yeah.
So it was a perfect time to be like, well, y'all live the dream one last time. And that was a couple years ago. I'm still here. I am.
That is very, very cool. Let's do some music. You guys want to play? Yeah. Okay, so y'all go ahead and set up. Sure. Get in your spots, and I'll talk while you move around. Something I'm pretty proud of. Will you show that guitar to the camera up here? So they came in here, and I just had some guitars here. They don't have any gear with them. And they said, do you have a capo? I said, no, I don't have a capo, because I don't use capos. Capos are kind of against my ethos. I said my index finger is my capo, and I'm not in a Dave Matthews band or a church worship band, so of course I don't use capos. So, but I made Chris a capo with a wood clamp and a piece of a lighting stand. I just clamped it to the second fret, and so we made a makeshift capo so y'all can play with the guitars and keyboards that I had sitting around the studio. So I hope the audio is good on this, but what? And you have to shout it out. But what are you gonna play?
We're gonna play a song from our not most recent record, but the EP before that, called "Can't Go Home."
So okie doke.
Sad bastard.
Can you do two songs or you got one?
We can do two, but we'll have to figure out how to get rid of this in between songs, so maybe we could tell a story or something.
Okay. Hang on. All right. Hang on one second. Yeah. Or go ahead and start when you're ready, actually. Y'all just make noise and do that. Jordan, so you did the drums on Devin's album recently.
Yeah.
Tell me about doing that. That was so awesome for me because, of course, Dave wanted to do the gig, but I said, let's let Chris and Jordan take care of it.
Yeah, you know, in all fairness to Dave, I was like, sorry, Dave. Like, yeah, but no, that was super cool, man. It was really fun. Pretty much, I mean, honestly, I just kind of walked in and learned the parts for the most part and just played and you know, threw a couple little zings in there.
Yeah,
so.
It's really good. So if people, you know, I know a lot of people have his album and listen to it, but that's you playing the drums on it. But
yeah.
So how often do you get to play drums on, you know, week to week? Do you have them at home or you keep them at Chris's or what?
Yeah, no, we have at the studio there, we pretty much, I keep my kit set up there. And then I bought a little Questlove signature drum kit. From my boy Nolan.
Yeah, it's real small too, right? That's what I want to get, a real small one of those and put it over in this corner for stuff like this.
I love it. I mean, we've used it at shows and little coffee shop type deals, and it sounds great.
How much did it cost?
It was, I believe, it was $3.99 out the door.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, the drums sound great, man. He designed it. It's such a great, you know, design because they're Ludwig drums, and it comes with the little bags. You can put the bags over. So it mutes the drums.
Oh, just really?
If you want to, yeah. And that's what I do at home. Yeah. You know? So when Nolan, my son, when he's banging on it, we just mute the drums.
Are you into drums now? Like, do you listen to drummers or people you like and stuff like that?
Honestly, I don't listen to a lot of music these days. I really don't. I listen to more, like, you know, podcasts and stuff. You know, Bad Christian, Break It Down, stuff
there
like
you
that,
go.
You know. But, yeah. No, honestly, I listen to a lot of podcasts mostly because when I drive. You know,
you're out by yourself all the time.
Yeah, I'll be driving in between, you know, job sites. I'll be listening to podcasts or, you know, just classic rock most of the time.
What is what other podcasts you into?
I mean, yeah, it's realistically pretty much all of your guys. the Free Sex one. I was just talking to these guys about it. That's been awesome.
That's
my
great.
Wife and I love it. No joke. Like, love that podcast.
That's really cool.
Yeah,
to hear.
The Free Sex one. And listen to yours and Break It Down. I've been Break It Down, I just started listening to a couple months ago, but I've listened to almost probably every Bad Christian episode.
Shoot.
Love it, dude. I love it.
You know, I really think
man.
It's so fun just to know that people get to keep up, you know, like it's a little bit one way and a little bit maybe, I don't know if it's conceited or arrogant to know that people out there are keeping up with me and I don't have to keep up with them, but I am glad.
Yeah.
So now when I get to see somebody like you, I'm like, okay, so you're caught up at least.
I feel like
so
I'm
it makes it
out
just easier when I meet people that I don't know, especially like, let's say tonight I'm going to go to the show.
Yeah.
I'm going to run into people who will recognize me and who I am because it's a similar scene. And I'll get noticed in public all the time. But tonight, there'll be some people that are fans probably and they'll say, hey, but it's so much better because I feel like they already know so many details about me, and that makes me more comfortable because I can just start talking to them about whatever's going on instead of, you know, you're way ahead of the game. So part of the podcasting experiment is just to get it all out there. That way I can skip small talk when I run into people or see people I hadn't seen in a while.
Yeah, no, I get it, man. Well, I just love keeping up with, you know, all the bands that we used to play with, you know, and a lot of Tooth and Nail bands. I love it, man.
That's great.
Love hearing what's going on, so.
Y'all fun. In tune? You want to do another one?
We're good.
What's this one?
This one is from that same record. It's called Hope, Alaska. Don't call my place after the night. I won't hear you. Send all my letters to my dad in case I get back. Big in Reno.
Oh yeah, you're just embarrassed because you weren't quiet in tune, but that was the nature of the situation. That's okay. Everybody will forgive that. You don't have tuners hooked up and stuff like that. So thank you for being part of the experiment to come in here and do that. I know that's goofy. I know that's a goofy thing to do, but it's just the kind of thing where why not give it a shot? But I think it's really cool. So, and I hope people will come out tonight. I'm going to say it again. It's Handsome and Gretel, which is friends of ours here in town. Then Tyson is after you guys?
I think we're second.
Then Surrogate, then Tyson Motzenbacher, then Fialta at the... And sit down, we'll talk a couple more minutes. But and then at the High Dive in Seattle tonight. So I hope people will come out. So one other thing that I failed to mention thus far that makes even a little bit more sense and ties everything back together even more is Chris has been playing guitar live with Emery.
That's right.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Dan, I was looking at you as the surrogate guy. I forgot that you play in Emory right now. So if you saw us on our last shows that we just did, Chris was there as the second guitar player. So I've been playing as the only guitar player for a while, and I'm super sick of it. So having you come out and play second guitar is awesome. I'm enjoying it so much.
It was a blast. I loved it.
And then you'll probably see Chris when we come back out, and we just announced the new sets of shows. So hopefully you're free.
Yes. Devin just emailed me a couple days ago. Yeah, we're set.
Good. So how do you find that? Give me an outsider's insight into getting to come out and be with Emery. What's that like?
It's awesome.
What's different or unique about it that I can't see from my vantage point?
I don't know. It definitely feels like you guys are a well-oiled machine. Like 15 years in or however long.
Musically or what?
Musically.
I don't know about musically.
Yeah, musically. No,
musically
it's
not so much.
It's solid.
Just like
know.
How.
No, but just the entity that is Emery is much bigger than just the music. And well, I mean, even like the battery, weird shit with the battery on the on the last run in, was it St. Louis?
Yeah. We had a battery on our bus problem.
Yeah. And you and Josh were just like, oh, it's cool, we got it, and you just put it like 2 hours in and fixed it and rewired the whole thing. It was amazing.
Yeah, that's the thing about that bus is it's in the shop right now, and they're not able to really fix it all. And so I know going out for the next tour, I just have to go early, and me and Josh can fix it.
Really?
Yeah,
it's just the same thing.
Well, there's just some of the lights and other stuff, and there's more problems in the electrical system. And the bus company called me back, like, yeah, we can't really figure it out. We already spent 4 hours at 150 an hour, and we didn't get very far. So I'm like, okay, well. We'll just have to get to it, and we'll get to it then.
Yeah.
We'll work on it. Me and Josh will figure it out or do something different. So
yeah.
Just
No, that's my point exactly. Is like you guys have a very, like everybody's contributes, and it's all a very symbiotic relationship. It was impressive. I don't think I've been around a band that like, I don't know, everybody has their roles and, you know, just gets shit done.
Yeah. Well, it's fun. It's really fun to play the way we've been playing. And I think I told people this before, but we've been playing without click tracks and tracks and samples and none of that stuff. So our set now is my favorite it's been in so long. Because we just got in this thing where we were just doing the greatest hits of Emery with click tracks and sounding loud and making a bunch of 30-year-old and 28-year-olds clap and mosh. And it's like, what the heck? What are we doing? I know it's kind of fun, but we've done that enough. It's not like this isn't a reunion tour or anything, right. So might as well just keep on moving on. So we finally updated our set and the music to be reflective of exactly. So we went back and rearranged the songs and stuff like that to be what I feel like playing on stage. So that's kind of where I'm at with podcasting and music is I'm definitely going to do what I want to do first. And then the engineering and problem solving comes and figure out how to make that work or make money or whatever else is going to have to come second. But you guys, the surrogate's a good example of that because I'm still I'm jealous that I don't do music for a hobby. I know that might sound weird, but I wish I did music for a hobby. I really do.
Yeah.
But it just doesn't, maybe I still could, you know, but it's hard to do. I feel like I got stuff to do. I don't know. But.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's part of, we were having like very similar conversation last night about all this. And like, the once you get to the point where you rely on it for part of your income or all of your income or whatever it is, it's like, it's kind of a gilded cage a little bit, you know. But it's not for everybody, not for us necessarily, but It all makes sense.
And if you look back through history, I mean, some of the best musicians are just people gathered on porches doing things for entertaining themselves in the moment.
Yeah.
Like, that's so pure.
It allows innovation and just thinking outside the box a little bit. Yeah. Not that we're super innovative or anything, but we could be if we wanted to be.
Well, I'm looking forward to the show tonight. I know you guys got you're already past your loading time, so I'm going to let you go, and I hope people have enjoyed this episode and getting to know you guys a little bit, and I'm glad to have finally had five or six people sitting here in the studio do a podcast. So not much to
Thanks
it.
Thanks so much for having us, man.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Super stoked.
All right, I'll see you all out there tonight.
All right, man. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, man.
You've been listening to the Jabberjaw Podcast Network, jabberjawmedia.com.
Ever heard of Stoicism? Chances are, if you have, you've heard of Stoicism with a lowercase s and not Stoicism with an uppercase s. Lone wolves, no emotions, antisocial behavior, cold indifference. All that is Stoicism with a lowercase s. Stoicism with an uppercase s is the ancient Greek philosophy and virtue ethics framework that centers on service to the cosmopolis, to include your family, friends, community, and planet, and the development of a good moral character. My name is Tanner Campbell, and I'm the host of Practical Stoicism, a 3 times a week podcast teaching Stoic principles and concepts to anyone interested through the exploration of texts and deep dives into various moral topics. You can find Practical Stoicism where you're already listening to podcasts by searching for Practical Stoicism or by going to stoicismpod.com. I invite you to give it a listen today. You just might like it.
Bonjour. This is Fabulously Delicious, the French food podcast. I'm Andrew Pryor, and every week I bring you the wonderful and fabulous people involved in French food, whether they're here in France like me or from around the world. Each week, we dive into a specific topic, be it a French dish, an ingredient, or a French cuisine cooking technique. My guests are all about French food. So, come join me on Fabulously Delicious, the French food podcast. Bon app.